As I prepared for today, I can tell you, I know Pastor Jim talked about when he was much younger, that preparing a message for Sunday morning was challenging, to say the least. It just comes naturally to him. I know he's watching. It's natural, you know. He doesn't have anything to do, you know, and he just rolls right off. I want you to know Satan's alive. He did everything to distract and interrupt and just destroy every opportunity I had to prepare for this message, which is God's message. It's a snippet of my life with a point of hope, not only for fathers, but for everyone. And it's humbling to be here before you. It's not easy, but I want you to know what's easy is praising our Heavenly Father. And as I thought about it, and as I prayed, and as I ripped more pages up than I can imagine, I realized that God the Father wanted to be glorified. And you know what? Before Americans declared that the third Sunday of June should be Father's Day, because, hey, we honor mothers on Mother's Day, so dads need equal opportunity, you know? But do you know the first person ever to honor their father was Jesus Christ? He's sitting there with these guys. They're like you and me. They're kind of a French fry or two short of a Happy Meal. Back then, they were a piece of flatbread short of a full meal. And they said, "Jesus, teach us to pray." And Jesus said, "Sure. This is how you should pray." And those, almost all of you, if not all of you, know what he said next. Join me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. He honored his father, teaching them how to pray. The first Father's Day, maybe? I don't know. It's my story. I came up with it. Actually, he did. I'm sharing it. How's that? But it's about faith. It's about faithfulness to Jesus Christ, to the Holy Spirit, and ultimately to God our Father, our Creator, our everything. As I looked, when Pastor asked me, you see, Reverend Peterson, I'm not happy with him. The nerve of him not to feel well, because he's usually the one who fills in. But it's good. It's good. Pastor asked me to fill in and step in. And God said, step up. When God says step up, look out. Okay? Because Satan doesn't want you to step up. We studied about that in Genesis 3 this morning, right? We had a great time. If you get an opportunity to grow your faith by coming to Adult Ed on Sunday mornings at 8:45, come join us. There's a reason we don't live stream it, that's for sure. But do you know that in that time, Melissa reminded us all about our Heavenly Father. She is so grateful for Him being her Father. It just touched all of our hearts. I looked as soon as Pastor said, welcome home from your vacation. Did you have a good time? Oh, and by the way, would you fill in? I went, oh, yeah, sure, okay. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 popped up in my mind. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Wow. Once again, let's pray. Father God, bless this time together. I pray that your words matter most as we hear from you through this message. Forgive us our sins, Lord, as we have asked, and as we forgive those who have sinned against us. Most importantly, Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your word. Thank you for our fathers. In Jesus' name, amen. Dads, are we teaching this very truth to our children? Are we teaching them about faith in our Lord? What you're about to hear, the question I kept going, how's this related to faith? Faith of our fathers. Well, you'll appreciate this somewhere along the way. As kids, most of us had a father to look up to. You remember yours? For some of you, he may still be living, and if he is, say hello, wish him a happy Father's Day, no matter the relationship, even if it's a text. I hate text, but it's okay. For some of you, your father may still be living. After suffering many years with rheumatoid arthritis, my dad passed into the arms of Jesus in 1993, one day short of his 70th birthday. He was a stern and determined man. After all, he was of German heritage with a splash of Irish and French in him. Who knows what else? He was a hard worker, eventually owned his own business. He was a devout Catholic. Don't shake when I say that. He was a devout Catholic, very active in church activities and leadership. I'd forgotten all about that. My dad absolutely believed in God, country, community, and family. He and my mother, Frances, were married for nearly 60 years. My dad served in the U.S. Army Air Force in World War II, flying supplies in and bringing out the deceased military members in the North African theater. I know I had a picture of him. There he is. You see him? That little guy up there? That's a C-47 cargo plane. Civilian world is a DC-3. Nice to know. What did I see about his faith? He believed in God. He did everything he could to help us children become good, God-fearing children. After all, Proverbs 1, verse 7 states in part, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." Dads, what did your father teach you? What are you teaching your children? I grew up attending church, religious study classes. I became an altar boy, cute little gown. But it was fun ringing the bells. That's all I cared about. I didn't care about anything else. And even wanted to, get this, are you ready? I wanted to become a priest. Until I realized I couldn't get married. That ain't happening. In my upbringing, thanks to my parents, I did learn about our Lord, heaven, hell, and spending all of eternity with God. I feared God. I didn't understand that he was a loving and caring father. I feared him. If I didn't do X, I was going to hell. That was my relationship with the Father. What about you? What did you learn? I hope it was something way different. Guilt has no place except in Satan's world. Know that. Now, time went on. I became a wise teenager, and then a wise young adult. I went astray, not having read or learned about Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Furthermore, verse 16 states, I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Dad, it's never too late to teach your children. It's never too late. I learned the religious parts, but not the relationship part with God. I didn't learn that part. Mind you, as a rebellious child and an adult, God put people in my life who tried to teach me. Trust me, I'm sure they did. But my eyes, ears, mind, and heart were closed. I don't know why, and it doesn't matter. I remember once upon a time a supervisor of mine, a delightful southern gentleman, Mr. Clarence Cato. I loved that man, I actually did. He was somewhat of a father figure to me. A man with a heart is all big outdoors. And one day I was complaining, I know none of you have ever done this, about a person who worked with, we worked with. And Mr. Cato asked me, he says, so who do you really admire and respect here? And he was the one. And I said, well, you, Mr. Cato. And he says, well, great. Then he asked me, whom do you dislike and disrespect the most? And of course, I said, the man I was just complaining about. Mr. Cato said to me, you choose who you want to be most like. You see, he's saying this. You see, we have both people in our hearts. Which one do you think God wants you to be like? Sadly, when most of it went right over my head because I was rebellious. But a little piece did stick in my heart. And I was grateful for Mr. Cato. Later on, I joined the Air Force, the United States Air Force, and I met all types of people, some very religious, some very evil, and a mix in between. I still wasn't walking with the Lord, but I had my spiritual fire insurance policy. I'm a Catholic and I'm going to heaven. Amen. Like the prodigal son, I wandered the world, squandering my money and my life away. Know this, though. Jesus walked beside me in all of this. I know he did. How? Because he literally spared my life multiple times. Physically spared my life. And then I realized 2 Peter 3, verse 9 came to mind. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Was my life a living testimony to heaven, my Heavenly Father? No, not at all. But did he have a plan for me? Did he have a purpose for me? Absolutely did. Just as he promised the Israelites in Jeremiah 29, verse 11 through 14, for I know the plans I have for you. Yay! Declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. Amen, huh? Wow, what a promise. I didn't get it, but he did. He knew. He will seek me and find me, and it was a long time before I did that. but he knew it was going to happen. My Father in heaven knew what he was going to do in my life, with my life, and through my life, and how I would answer. While the Israelites at that time were held in captive in Babylon, I was held at that time in captivity in sin. What lessons do we teach our children and grandchildren by the way we live our lives today? Are we living by God's word and teaching them that and sharing our faith with them? Or are we showing them Satan's world? We have to ask ourselves that question, dads. What are we doing by example? What are we doing in our relationship with our Heavenly Father? As fathers, we help mold our children. As time went by, I met my beautiful bride, Debbie. We agreed, yeah, we're not going to have any children. We're going to stay childless. We're going to party all our lives. 10 years into our marriage, I was surprised to hear those words. A man like me at that time never expected to hear. Honey, guess what? I'm pregnant. Yeah, I'm going to be a father. I'm going to be a daddy. Are you serious? What are you doing up there? Well, guess what? God blessed us with our beautiful daughter, Shannon. Being a good Catholic, we had Shannon baptized and moved on with our lives, living with our fire insurance policy. Do you know, dads, that the actions of a father speak volumes to children? Even if they can't articulate it when they're young, they're watching, they're learning from you. When a father chooses the right path, his family is blessed. I hadn't learned about Proverbs 20, verse 7. The righteous lead blameless lives. Blessed are their children after them. Again, God has a sense of humor and timing. It was the Easter of 2003, and at the insistence for the umpteenth time of our daughter, Shannon, I agreed to go to a non-Catholic church. God has a sense of humor, I keep telling you that. He knows what he's doing too, doesn't he? Shannon, we went, and Shannon raced up at the altar call. I didn't know what an altar call was. But I wasn't going to be a foolish-looking father, so I ran up there, and Debbie followed. And we gave our life to Christ, and we still continued on in our lifestyle. But we committed our lives to Christ, sort of, kind of. But God knew. God uses his children for his kingdom purposes. That's why I believe I was called to serve as a volunteer with Operation Christmas Child, because God uses children to bring adults to him more times than you'll ever know. And I know people sitting here besides Debbie and I that had that happen to them. They were living a life of luxury and joy and fun and everything under the sun. And their daughter or sons, hey, Mom, Dad, want to go to church with me? Let me tell you about Jesus. It's like, yeah, God uses children for his purpose. He reminds us in Psalm 127, verse 3 through 5, children are a heritage from the Lord. Offspring, a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior, their children born in one's youth, blesses a man whose quiver is full of them. No matter how many children you have, dads, you are truly blessed. I am truly blessed with only one child, Shannon. She walks with the Lord in real, tangible ways. a wife of 14 years, mother of four beautiful, energetic children. I get to call them grandchildren. I get to send them home after feeding them up with sugar. She's a doula. If you don't know what that is, ask Debbie. She can tell you the real story. She's studying to become a nurse, practitioner, midwife, who ministers in the name of the Lord locally and hopes to be able to do that through missions around the world in the future. Shannon knew I believed. This is it. This is key. She's watching my faith. She knew I believed in God, but she didn't see much fruit until I gave my life to the Lord and subsequently volunteered with Operation Christmas Child. God used the power of a simple little shoebox to get my attention. She's seeing God working in me and through me for his purpose and will. Dads, come on, you know, we're imperfect, right? We know it, but we're not going to tell them, right? We're the super dads. But we're being perfected by God the Father through his persistent love for us. The sacrifice of his Son, Jesus Christ, for our sins. And then giving us the Holy Spirit who resides in us. As we honor you on this Father's Day, remember your faith and faithfulness matters not only to you, but to your children. Your children are looking to you as a spiritual leader in your home. I share this snippet of my life as an encouragement to you, as a hope for you, of how my commitment and your commitment to God in absolute faith matters to my daughter, my grandchildren, your children and grandchildren. And God the Father loves you implicitly. And all he wants you to do is come to him. Happy Father's Day, dads. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for all you do for us. We sin regularly. You ask us to confess our sins, to repent of our sins, and then you love us still. Thank you. Thank you so much for all you do for each and every one of us and our families. You are a mighty God. You are a mighty Father, maker of heaven and earth and of all things that are seen and unseen, from the greatest to the smallest. And we just thank you so much for the fathers you have given us in our lives who have that faith in you, who believe in you, who've shared that faith with us, that we may come to know you. Some of us take a while, but yet we still come. And we thank you for being there to welcome us with open arms like the prodigal son's father did. And we just praise you and give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.